You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The FWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome along. You're listening to the Football Writers Association podcast here with William Hill. Dave Kellner in the studio, and each and every week we get one of the top sports journalists on the podcast. And this week, no different. Warren Houghton, TalkSport reporter and a former professional footballer, is on the line right now. First of all, good morning, Warren.
Hi, Dave. You well?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Not too bad. Looking forward to another interesting weekend of Premier League action.
Yeah, it should be good. We're going to spin through the televised matches, as we always do on this podcast, in a few moments' time, Warren. But first, let's talk about the appointment of Gary Neville at Valencia. Does it come as a shock to you that he's stepped into management at this moment in his life?
It has. It seemed to have come from nowhere, this opportunity. But when you actually sort of break it down, the fact that he knows Peter Lim so well, he's got a 50% share in Salford City FC, you know, the class of 92, including Gary Neville, know Peter Lim really well as well. So at the managerial vacancy at one of Peter Lim's clubs. So it seems an easy fit, but there was no sort of rumblings of this beforehand. And all of a sudden, it was announced that Gary Neville will take charge of Valencia for the next 5 months. And the interesting thing, Dave, he's going to move out there. He's moving his family out there as well. Mm. And he's going to go into this job and attack it as if he is the permanent manager on a long-term basis as well. It's a really brave move. His first managerial job. He's, don't forget, we know he's been a coach at England. He won't give up that role as well. In Spain, not knowing the language, so it's going to be a huge challenge for him. And I think it'll be a challenge he'll relish as well.
There seems to be no doubt. I've read a lot of columns about this. I'm sure, Warren, you've spoken about it as well. There seems to be no doubt that he will succeed in his job as Valencia coach. It's strange, isn't it? A rookie manager taking his first job outside of the United Kingdom. But there seems to be little doubt that he's going to be a successful manager.
I wouldn't necessarily subscribe to that notion. I think Gary Neville said himself, you can have experienced managers who have failed and you can have experienced managers who have done well. Inexperienced managers have failed and done well at the same time. So you just don't know how it's going to work out. I think our perception of Gary is slightly sort of skewed by the fact he does so well on Sky. He's a great broadcaster. He's a great thinker in the game. That doesn't necessarily mean that's going to transfer over to the training pitch with him being the main man. We'll have to wait and see. It's going to be another huge learning curve for him. He'll have had experience working with Salford. He'll have had experience working with England. But this, he's the main man. Everyone will be kind of listening to what he has to say. Whatever he does, he's a leader now. He's not able to kind of work behind Roy Hodgson and Ray Lewington. He's the man. He's the leader. And he will be setting the tone of what happens at Valencia for the next 5 months with his brother.
Yeah, and he's kept his brother in the backroom staff. That would have been an awkward conversation.
Can you imagine if the new manager said to, well, hang on a minute, mate, I'm bringing a new broom in here. I'm getting rid of all the old coaching staff. Who are you? Oh, you're my brother. Oh, sorry, you can stay.
Christmas wouldn't have gone down well, would it, if he'd have said to Phil, your services are no longer needed at the required at the club. So
yeah, and by the way, there might be an available job for you at a club called Salford FC. Get yourself over there, pal.
Precisely. Okay, Gary Neville, new manager of Valencia Football Club. We'll see how that works out in the next few months. Let's get stuck into this weekend's Premier League matches, Warren, and we'll start with Stoke versus Manchester City, which is a 12:45 PM kickoff on Saturday. Stoke are 4-1 to win this game here with William Hill. The draw 14-5, and Manchester City in the betting at 4-6. Both in action midweek in the Capital One Cup, and Man City beat Hull City comprehensively.
Yeah.
Sheffield Wednesday didn't offer a lot against Stoke. I was quite disappointed with their performance, and Stoke came through by 2-0.
Well, bearing in mind that, you know, Stoke are, where are they in the Premier League? They're 12th, 19 points. I think if you look at Mark Hughes' and Stoke's results, I think with the players he's got, I think he'll be a little bit disappointed with how they started. It took them about 7 games to win their first Premier League game into September as well. So he would probably calculate, Mark Hughes, that he should have another 4 or 5 points. So he's probably thinking we should be on 24, 25 points up there with Liverpool and Spurs, so, and Crystal Palace as well. So Stoke, we all know it's a very difficult place to go. It's not just the fact that you have to win the physical battle, but now Stoke are an enterprising, good footballing side, and Manchester City will have it all to do to get all 3 points at Stoke. I think this will be a really, really difficult game for them, and I'll probably go for a draw on this one.
Yeah, the draw is 14-5, big price on the draw, Warren. And as you mentioned, Stoke, they're playing a slightly different style of football to what we are accustomed to. They brought in a wonderful player, Bojan and Jordan Shaqiri now there as well, and they've got some real talent in that squad.
You've got no choice but to play football with the sort of players that you mentioned. You can't just lump it along to a Peter Crouch and hope to get the flick on to for the likes of a Jonathan Walters to kind of work off the scraps. You've got to play a more thoughtful, a patient game. And I think Stoke are doing that. They're mixing it well. And Glenn Whelan, one of my favourite players in the Premier League, who doesn't get, for me, the recognition or the respect he deserves. He sits in front of that back four and he really sort of controls the game and sets the tempo for Stoke. They're a good side. I personally think Manchester City will be happy with the points. I don't think that will be a bad result for them. And they, for me, are still the team to beat as far as winning the Premier League is concerned as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Manchester City 4-6 to win this game, but Warren going with a draw at 14-5. The 5:30 p.m. kickoff on Saturday evening is Chelsea versus Bournemouth. 2-5 Chelsea to win the game. The draw is 15-4 and Bournemouth are in the market at 13-2. First of all, last weekend, Warren, incredible performance from Bournemouth against Everton. Denied them all 3 points. They came from behind twice in that match and scored in the 95th minute. Bournemouth, aside that, are playing with spirit at the moment, and that's good to see.
They're playing some good football and they are playing with spirit, but they're just not simply picking up those results. The likes of other teams who have come up in the Premier League have actually got. You look at Watford, you know, is Watford's squad better than Bournemouth? It probably isn't. They've both equally got good players. But it just seems that, yes, their morale would have been boosted by that dramatic late goal against Everton at home. I can't really make a case for them going to Chelsea and actually getting anything unless we go back to the old nervous Chelsea of 2 or 3 weeks ago. I thought Chelsea played well against Spurs. I thought they played well against Stoke the week before, even though they lost. You get the feeling the building blocks starting to get put in place now with Jose Mourinho and his side. I thought they looked really good. They looked solid against Spurs and they looked quite dangerous on the counter-attack without Diego Costa as well. So, yes, it wasn't the best performance against Norwich as well. Still a 1-0 win. But I just get the feeling, and you can hear it in Jose Mourinho's voice when he's at the press conferences as well, he's feeling that his team are starting to move forward and get back on track.
What do you think to the spat between Diego Costa and Jose Mourinho? Do you think that is damaging long term?
I'm not sure it is. I think Diego Costa is a player who wants to be playing. The bottom line is he's actually forgot to play football and score goals this season. He actually wants to get into a fight with everybody. That's what he has to get back to doing. Being aggressive, yes, but not crossing the line. Being Chelsea's main man, looking to score goals and cause defenders all sorts of problems. He's forgotten to do that this season. Yes, Chelsea probably have struggled and haven't probably got the service to him that he would like, but at the same time, there's no substitute for hard work and he hasn't been putting that in. All you need to do is look at his warm-up before the game and when he was told to go warm-up at White Hart Lane. That was a player who wasn't interested and that is not a good signal. You know, this is a test for Jose Mourinho. He's not used to players showing him this sort of public displays of dissent. Mm. And this is something he will have to deal with. Usually, Jose Mourinho's players will run through a brick wall for him. We've not seen many players show this sort of dissent. And that's something interesting. I'd like to see how this one develops. But I think, to me, it's like when you cross Alex Ferguson, there's only one winner, and that will be Jose Mourinho.
Yeah. Why do you think Chelsea have started the season so poorly then? Only 15 points from 14 games.
They didn't recruit. They simply didn't get the players in that they wanted. They wanted the likes of John Stones, one or two other players. Jose Mourinho wasn't happy with the squad during the summer. He wanted the reinforcements that he wanted more reinforcements, didn't quite get them. And you always have that sort of notion when you're the top side, when you've won the league, that is probably the best time to actually recruit and bring fresh players in, to actually push the likes of Cesc Fabregas, to push the likes of Nemanja Matic as well. And he needs options up front. Radamel Falcao, any Manchester United fan or any Premier League fan would have told you that was a disastrous move. He clearly knows it's a disastrous move now. He's nowhere near that first-team squad. Was it one Premier League goal? since he's actually got to the club. It simply isn't good enough, and he'll probably be gone in January. One thing is for sure, Radamel Falcao won't be there at the end of the season as well. So he hasn't recruited well, and the players he's actually wanted to bring in, I know for a fact he wanted to bring in, he's not been able to do that. So that's a double frustration for him to replenish the squad that he had from last season. And it's, look what's happened now. We've seen them, they're 14th in the Premier League. Before the Norwich game, they weren't able to bar a result. Confidence was on the floor, and he's got a small squad as well. And he hasn't really got time to bring in the likes of Ruben Loftus-Cheek, one or two others that he wants to bring in while they're playing well and at the top of the league. He just can't do that.
I agree. Chelsea 2-5 to win that game against Bournemouth on Saturday evening. Sunday's live game is Newcastle United versus Liverpool at 9-2 Newcastle. The draw is 3-1. Liverpool in the betting at 6-10. This fixture, Warren, in the past has produced some real classics. Liverpool fans must be overjoyed with the way their team are performing at the moment under Jurgen Klopp. He seems to have energised them, and I think getting a performance out of Daniel Sturridge was his latest success midweek.
Well, it's amazing what when a manager comes in and basically tells his players, if you don't work hard, you won't play. You look at Jurgen Klopp, he stands on that touchline, prowling, he's sort of controlling and prowling in that technical area. And if you're a player on that pitch, Dave, and you look over to the manager and he's giving you that look, you know that you feel compelled to work hard for him, because you're going to get the look, and at halftime, you're going to get the old, good old-fashioned Sir Alex Ferguson, Jurgen Klopp-style hairdryer, because he will not accept any player not working hard for him and not giving 100%. And you just simply are compelled to give him 100%. And all the other stuff will fall into place, because if you play well, if you work hard, everything else will fall into place. And that is what seems to be happening at Liverpool. My only fear for them is, my only issue with Liverpool at the moment is, because the way they play, they sit back or they win the ball high, is the fact that you can't always do that at home. Teams will actually sit back and ask you to come and take the ball off them. So that will be an issue for him moving forward. But at the moment, they've gone to Newcastle. He hasn't got long. There's talk of him, talk of Steve McClaren possibly being sacked over the next two games. You've got the next two games to get a couple of results. You just really can't make a case for Newcastle getting anything in this game. You know, two Premier League wins in their last six, two thumping defeats against Leicester and Palace as well. Steve McClaren under huge pressure. 10 points, second bottom of the table. You just cannot make a case for Newcastle getting anything out of this game against Liverpool.
Did you expect Steve McClaren to have performed better with the squad that he had at his disposal here, or are the players simply not good enough for him?
I think the players aren't good enough. We've always heard that Steve McClaren is a good coach, but he'll have had to work some miracles on that training ground. I know people who know him quite well, and he puts on excellent training sessions, but putting on excellent training sessions and being the leader of a club like Newcastle are two completely different things. And my goodness me, he's finding that out at the moment. They're in a real, real mess at the bottom of the league.
Liverpool to go to Newcastle then on Sunday and win that game 6-10 here with William Hill. And the weekend finishes on Monday night with Everton versus Crystal Palace. 21-20 Everton, the draw 5-2, Crystal Palace in the market at 5-2. Two teams playing good football at the moment. Everton have been very impressed, Warren, with Romelu Lukaku up front, combining with Aruna Kone, Ross Barkley and Gerard Deulofeu, who's been one of the shining lights in this Premier League season so far.
Well, if you look at Lukaku, Barkley and Kone, I think that's 25 goals between them this season. Barkley, I'm sure Roy Hodgson will be happy with this, now adding goals to his real quality football as well. Lukaku, 13 goals. They've really come on in the last month or so, Everton. After a bit of a wobbly period as well, that time when they were really comprehensively beaten at home to Manchester United, they put out a strong side against Middlesbrough, 6 days to recover from that game as well. Palace, seventh in the Premier League, Dave, as well. They've had a really good season. But, again, you look at the ambition of teams like Crystal Palace, they will probably feel that they should have more points. Perhaps that game at home to Manchester United, they probably felt they should have won. Sunderland defeat at home, again, they probably feel that's another five or six points that they should have had as well. And coming off the back of that real thumping win against Newcastle, they were goals to Everton, especially with the way they play. Zaha, Bolasie, one or two others with real pace on the counter-attack, they will feel that they can get a result there. They won there, I think it was last season or season before as well. So they'll go there brimming with confidence. Everton, they'll look to keep that good run going, ninth in the Premier League, and they will feel that this will be the start of another good run for them.
It's one of those matchups, this one, isn't it? Everton versus Crystal Palace. I think both teams would prefer to be the counter-attacking team. But Everton being at home, you'd expect them to have to force the issue. They'll be in the ascendancy, have a lot of the possession. That could set it up for Palace, I suppose.
It could set it up for Palace, but I think Everton are a side who can set the tempo in terms of their passing. And they're a team who I believe who can sit back and hit you on the break with the likes of Deulofeu, Kone, Ross Barkley and Lukaku. So I think Roberto Martinez has got the shape and the balance of his side in terms of sitting back, soaking it up, setting a tempo and able to break on teams going forward with their pace and their athleticism up front as well.
What's the verdict on Everton versus Crystal Palace? Tough game to finish with.
I'm going to go with Everton win.
OK, Everton to win that game in the market at 21-20. Warren, thank you for your company this morning.
No problem.
Warren Horton, the former professional footballer and TalkSport reporter, available on Twitter as well, at Warren Horton, if you want to follow Warren on Twitter. For myself, Dave Kellner, thank you for listening to the podcast, folks, and we'll be back next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.